Welcome to Showing Up Solo with Hannah and Nicole, your guides to navigating online marketing for your business.
Hello, everybody. Today, Nicole and I are joined by Cricket of Joyful Purpose Coaching. Now, I've known Cricket for a little while. She was one of, we were business babies together. And I'm so glad that she's here to join us today. Cricket, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do?
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Cricket. I'm a life and spiritual coach, and my passion is helping people to discover and pursue their joyful purpose so that they can get unstuck, drop the fear, and empower themselves for the new paradigm. So I love helping people get out of their own way so that they can achieve the things that they truly desire to achieve.
That's wonderful. I mean, I think that's so, so necessary. I know when I started my business, it was a reaction. I don't know if you guys have felt like I felt like everything I've done in my business up until recently has been very reaction, like reaction to being laid off, reaction to needing money, you know, and then I'm moving into a place of intention, but I think that's a uncomfortable transition to be in. You know, it's a lot of growing pains with that.
Yeah. I would agree that that's pretty much how I started my business as well. Like, it was a reaction. I was finishing my maternity leave and we had moved and I needed to find a new career. And so, yeah, it's coming from reaction instead of like preventative, but long-term thinking of like how you can grow and how something can grow with you.
That's so interesting because I feel like I'm kind of the opposite. I never knew what I wanted to do. You know, I was always a musician, but I didn't feel like I wanted to go to school for that because I didn't want to end up a music teacher, you know, if I didn't make it. And so I ended up just doing a lot of other things that weren't as fulfilling. I worked in restaurants for years. When I got tired of that, I started doing cosmetology, but I always felt like there was just something else in me. And I just kept kind of being open to what my thing was. And what I always knew was what I did love doing was personal growth and development, my spiritual practice. That was stuff that I just do anyway. And then when I found out that coaching was like a profession, I was like, oh my gosh, so I get to take everything that I already love to do, all of that learning and growth that I've experienced, and I get to bring that to people. And at that point, when I discovered coaching, I was writing inspirational music that was inspired from my personal growth and spiritual practices. And so instead of just singing about people, like helping people discover and pursue their dreams, I was like, oh my gosh, I could actually give them tools and tangibly help them do it. And so for me, it wasn't necessarily reactionary. It was more like I was always being pulled to a greater purpose. I just had no idea what it was, but I just kept kind of blindly following the breadcrumbs.
That's pretty special though. Like, I think that's like not many people get, or they're not aware of that kind of situation or of that experience. So I think that's like something really special.
Yeah. To trust in that journey. I know for myself, that is, there's always been like what I felt inside me was something I loved doing. And then the, no, you need to do this, you know, this other voice pulling me away. So I think that's pretty special to follow the breadcrumbs, to choose to let that happen.
Well, and that's not to say it wasn't challenging. I mean, it was really unfulfilling to work in a restaurant. It was really unfulfilling to be doing hair. And although I found many, many gifts in it, like it all led to where I am now and gave me the skills that I need to be a coach, but it was depleting just and disappointing to be feeling like, I feel like I'm meant for something more and this isn't it. I mean, when people would say, oh, so has your passion always been doing hair? And I'm like doing their hair like, yeah.
Absolutely. I feel that way about admin. I mean, like, I am known as like an admin whiz, and I do get like that dopamine hit from getting something really well organized. But is it my dream? You know, or is it just something I'm good at? You know, there's like finding the difference.
Yeah. Totally. And, you know, it's a really interesting paradox, because what I've found for my own life and working with my clients and helping them pursue their life purpose is that it's, I mean, everyone has a different definition of what life purpose is. For me, I'm finding it's living a harmonious lifestyle. So some people, though, do define it as their vocation. Like they want to be doing the thing that they're meant to do. But the more that I have found that for myself and my clients, it's also and being happy and satisfied where you are. So you can live your joyful purpose right now with exactly everything that you have in this very moment and be pulled by that higher calling that's pulling you to express your gifts and your passions. And I think that what I'm really discovering is that your joyful purpose is really the merging of the two, where you're happy with where you are and you have a vision that inspires you for the future.
Yeah, that's really inspiring, because it, you know, it opens you up to new things and exploring things about yourself, but it also leaves you so you're not wishing that you're missing out. You know, like I think a lot of us feel like we compare ourselves to other people. I know I fall into that trap all the time.
Me too.
So it's like reminding yourself, like the things that you have are actually very beautiful, and this is how you can continue to keep growing. So yeah, I think that's very cool what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can enjoy and appreciate where you are, and that's not the end of it. Like that you don't have to just be happy with what you've got. You can be happy with what you've got and want more, and both are okay, I think.
Yeah, it's really, that's the nature of life. Like life, look all around you, life expands. Like we never are stagnant. And if you're stagnant, you're dying, right? So it's always this expansion, this growth, this exploration. And so even when you think you, so when you're like seeing someone else, for example, because I've totally fallen into the comparison trap. So you're seeing somebody else, you're like, oh, they're doing exactly what they're meant to be doing. You know, I want to get there. But once you, if you even get there to what you think there is, there's just going to be more challenges. There's just going to be more growth. And the thing is, someone said once, you know, once you have the thing that you want, by definition, you don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, have you experienced that with a car or something, like you're trying to manifest like a tangible thing that you're like, oh, I really want that coat. And then you get it. And then it's like, what do I want next?
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I think doing the work to really appreciate right where you are for everything that you have in this moment is so powerful for realizing your purpose, no matter what your career is or your business or what you're doing in your life.
Yeah. There's two things in this conversation that we've had so far. And one of it was Hannah made a comment of, scared to take risks or challenges. And then you, Cricket, saying, you know, like you were pulled into this role, into like your purpose. And I thought, you know, is it that we're all being pulled into our purpose, but our mind goes, wait a minute, we shouldn't do this. You know, like this is too big of a risk. We shouldn't do this. You need to like go with a safe route. And I think that's a lot of times what we do.
Our brains want to keep us safe.
Yeah.
But I do believe that we are all being pulled. And I think more people are waking up to that, and more people, especially after COVID, so many people are switching careers and like waking up to, oh my gosh, I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not doing what I want. And so they're being pulled to answer that call. My first solo album, I titled The Calling, because I felt like me sharing my music and my songs was something that I was like, okay, I'm ready to answer the call. Like I said, I was pursuing all these other things that wasn't my music or my calling. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to answer it. So when you feel ready to answer that call, guess what? It's really freaking scary. And I think it's designed to be that way because, like I said, our brains want to keep us safe. They want to keep us with what is familiar and doesn't take risks for us to survive. But when we stretch ourselves and do those scary things, that's what grows us. That's what expands us. And again, that's what life is. You can't expand to the next version of yourself exactly who you are now.
Yeah.
So you have to push yourself and challenge yourself. And I have found that the things that are the most scary, I look for if they're scary and exciting. And if it's scary and a little bit exciting, I push myself to do it, or I try to remind myself to push myself to do it. I'm not always successful, but those are the things I think have the greatest reward on the other side, those challenges, because it's really pulling us into our next level of expression.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was watching on Netflix last night, the Mind Explained. They've put, and there was one about teenage brains, and the teenagers are always taking risks, you know, because it pushed you out of the den back in the day, right? Got you finding some mates and everything. But like, they're like, it's very much about like, they're more likely to take a risk when there's people watching. And when you hit 25, that kind of starts to die down. Your dopamine level, like when you get a hit of dopamine, it's less than it is when before that age. And I was just thinking, like, because of the risk taking, right? I think the older we get, the less comfortable we are with those risks. And I suppose, like, chemically, the reward is lower. But like, it's not that it doesn't stop, right? Your brain is like plastic; it can move and it's moldable, right? So even though it's a little harder to mold it, there's still chance to change it. Just it takes a little bit more oomph on your side, right? A little more commitment. And I just find it fascinating because I think that's why people need guidance, like support from people like you, Cricket, to make that kind of change, because it's harder the further along you get, right?
I think you're right. As we become adults, we kind of know the consequences of risks a little bit more. We maybe have more to lose. So, and that's really interesting about the dopamine. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And it doesn't mean you can't get a good hit of dopamine, but it just, you know, I thought that was an interesting one, is that the reward for taking risks kind of lowers as you get older, but that the chemical reward, but the reward you get like on a day-to-day basis is so much greater. But that can be like what might be getting in the way of people taking that step.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, when people, like, there's more time in between the risks, they kind of, like, it's like you said, Hannah, their dopamine hit is less, right? So their brains don't remember, like, oh, when I took this risk, it was really awesome. Like, it really paid off. So because they get so accustomed to comfort and like what feels good and what they know is safe. So then, you know, when an option comes by that they could take a risk on, it's like, do I really want to leave my safe zone? Is this really going to pay off? Probably, it probably would pay off. It's like what Cricket said, like if it's a little scary with a little bit of excitement, most times it probably will pay off. Sometimes it doesn't, but those are also, you know, learning experiences.
Yeah. Like, what's the cost of that joy, I think, right? Because like, you're in a job that you don't necessarily love. It's not bringing you joy, but it's giving you enough to keep a roof over your head. It's giving you enough to have a full belly, you know? But is it feeding your soul? Is it bringing you joy? Is it giving you, is it taking too much of your energy that you like, so that you don't have it for the other elements of your life? Like, it's, you know, but it's that weighing game, right? And how do you help people move through that if they're kind of stuck?
Well, it all begins in the mind. And so I show my clients how their thinking is giving them the results that they have now. And your results are always a result of your thinking. So if we can identify what your thoughts are that are like unintentional and kind of on repeat, we all have them that are happening. That is what's driving your emotions, and your emotions drive your actions. And then you get your manifestations. And so if you want to change the results that you have in your life, you have to start with your thoughts, because that will change how you feel. And then that's where that joyful purpose comes in, because then you get to experience it before it's even manifested. And so if somebody is feeling really stuck and unfulfilled in their current job, I would have them look at how they're thinking about their job. You know, often, you know, you have people who come in every day, they're complaining, oh, this didn't work out again, or my boss is on my butt for whatever. I've actually never worked an office job, so I'm envisioning what that might look like. But and so, but it could be with anything. It's like the way you think about it is the way you're actually going to attract it back to you. But if you end up going, if you end up changing your perspective on it, and this is going to be different for everyone. It's like, how would you rather feel going to work? Now you're feeling disgruntled, you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling stuck. How do you want to feel in your job? If nothing changed and you had to go to your office every day or your gig, how would you want to feel? Well, I'd want to feel inspired. I'd want to feel excited. Okay, what would you have to think to feel excited and inspired? And for some people, like I had one client, she was actually working towards being a coach, but she was had this really great paying job. And she had this huge aha because she realized like, no, I have this great paying job that gets to pay me while I build that other thing. And she's just reflecting on how everyone envies the job that she has, even though she doesn't want to keep doing it forever. She was able to find gratitude for it because it was the stepping stone for her to get to what she really wanted. So once she changed how she thought about it, as opposed to, well, I have to do this and it's not fulfilling, to I get to do this and it pays me so well, so I get to really do what I'm passionate about. It changed her life.
That's powerful. That's really powerful.
Yeah. That like, I just mind blown moment right there.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean your external circumstances. When we accept things as they are and we are able to find the gifts in them, it doesn't mean that we're not working towards something else. It doesn't mean we're not going to change it, but it's like the difference of living your life miserably or living your life in joy. You always get a choice. And it always starts with how you think about it. And so that's what I do in my own practice for myself. And that's what I do for my clients to help to shift that so they can start living the life that they envision themselves being called to have right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think practicing gratitude is so, so important. And a lot of people find that really beneficial as well is you're right. Like we can often get stuck in the negatives, the things that don't go our way or the things we think we're missing out on, and miss the wonderful things in our lives that help us. Yeah. Yeah. That we get to have, like, I get to cuddle and tickle my kids on the couch in the morning. I don't have to start work at a set time. I can take an extra 10 minutes to drink my coffee on the couch and snuggle up with my kids. And, that's something I'm really grateful for. And again, I'm grateful then for being let go from my last job, because I would not have this if I hadn't, you know, like every experience eventually brings you to where you are. So, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard so many messages of how powerful writing, journaling your gratitude is. It's like takes everything one step further than just like thinking it in your mind. It's actually like the process of doing it. I've heard like the results that come from it can be so powerful for people that it just moves them one step forward. So I've like tried to do that more and more. I know I have to like remind myself, because you kind of get back into like old routines. But I've noticed that when my thinking changes, things change around me. You know, like my relationships change with my husband and my children or my friends, like my outlook on things. Yeah, it's incredible.
Absolutely. Gratitude is like a main staple in my spiritual practice. And, you know, I haven't been consistent with it always, but I discovered it in 2015 when I had decided I was going to put out a solo album and I was going to do a crowdfunding campaign I wanted to raise $10,000 to make the album. And at the time I was like, oh my gosh, that's like, I think I initially was going to set it for like 3 or 5,000. And then someone was like, no, you should do more. And I was like, oh gosh, okay. And so I set it for 10. I had no idea how it was going to happen. And actually at the salon, one of the gifts of working that job, I was cutting this guy's hair and we were talking and he was like an avid reader. He said, actually, I just finished this book. I think you'd like it. He went out to his car. He brought it in to me. It's called The Magic by Rhonda Byrne. And she's the same author of The Secret. And it's a 28-day gratitude practice. So every day it takes you through a different exercise of focus for gratitude. And it changed my life. I actually am reading it for the third time now. And it is incredible. And what they say in that book, I think everybody should get it. Again, it's called The Magic. But one thing that I found really makes a gratitude practice more delicious is if you can feel the gratitude. So not just, I've gotten into that like humdrum kind of automatic, like, all right, 5 things I'm grateful for. Thank you for my cat. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my dog, you know? But what she says in the book is if you can say, I am so grateful for the warm bed that I have to sleep in because I love being cozy and getting a good night's sleep. And then the next sentence you say, you know, I am so very amazingly in gratitude. So it's like not just having it on auto repeat, but saying what it is you're grateful for and why makes it that much more potent. And write 10 things.
Oh, okay.
And the thing with writing 10 things is that you really have to start racking your brain and looking for the things in your life that you're grateful for. And if you struggle with this, if you're going through a hard time, I always say, like, start with your body. Start with something really simple. Like, if you're listening to this podcast, you've got ears to listen. If you're watching this recording, you've got eyes to see, you know, so just start as basic as possible because there's someone out there that doesn't have the ability to hear or see. And then once you've written your 10, go through and reread them all and just I put my hand on my heart and I just let my heart open and I feel the gratitude. Emotion is always our most powerful resource for manifesting and attracting things because the world works on energy. And emotions and gratitude is an energy. So when you're putting that out, it is literally amplified out into the field. And, you know, quantum physics says that has to come back to us. So that's why I found it so powerful.
It's interesting that you just said that because instantly into my mind, I was thinking, you know, when you're around someone and you enter a room and you can just like completely feel their energy, like, you know, something's wrong. And you can't help but sometimes take it on. And that's like the negative energy that you're feeling. So think of how powerful, like, positive energy is when you like let it go into the world.
Oh yeah. I've never been like a huge acknowledger of energy up until like recently, but I had a call with a person and they're, like, I couldn't believe how their energy was really transmitted even just through a Zoom conversation because it just radiated this whole safe space, generous kindness that I left the call like with a long lasting warm fuzzy, you know, like that warm fuzzy feeling. So it really is like, it's really powerful. Like if you can radiate, it has that like domino effect on other people too. And that's how you attract that energy too, because people want to reciprocate. They want to reflect it back to you.
So I'll take that even a step further, because what I've been finding is not only in a Zoom call, which I will say, Hannah, that's exactly how I felt about you the first time we met. I was just like, I love her. But even in like social media posts, just in text, like if I write a post and I'm just feeling like, okay, I'm going to get a client from this post. And what am I going to say? You know, what am I going to say that's going to get them to call me and want to hire me? As opposed to like, oh, I'm in so much gratitude. I love my life. I love my clients I already have. And like, what do I want to share that just is I'm so excited about right now that I think someone else might want to hear too? I could say the exact same words in a post, but have that different energy And I've seen this happen where I'll get a, you know, crickets from the first energy, and the second I'll get people responding and reaching out to me for consult. So that's something I think, as we talk about marketing, it's like, you need to fill up your cup first and then share that with your audience. And it's infectious. People want that. They're drawn to it. And so it's like the magic sauce, I think, for being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that actually, that really, that brings me on to another point. I think, especially because most of our audience are going to be service-based businesses, we've gotten into this industry because we like to help people. We've got something to share. We want to have that kind of that supportive role. But I think running a business is hard. It's hard work. There are so many things. And I think it's very easy to buckle under the weight of that and to kind of forget in the mess, in the chaos of running a business, why we started to do it in the first place. Or even if the why was a reaction, like I was saying with my business, there's still, like, even though it was a reaction, there was still an underlying motivation that maybe I didn't acknowledge at the time. But how do you help someone get out of that? How do you help them come, like, rise above the fog and the chaos and kind of realign with their purpose?
Well, I think first it does start with your own practice. So I got really stuck when I was first starting my business. I just always had an insatiable appetite for personal growth and development. But when I discovered coaching, I just got really into the doing, and I wanted to build my business. I wanted to get good at coaching. And I didn't really take the time to hire my own coach. I wasn't doing my spiritual practice. I kind of let all that fall away. And I just got into this kind of generating mode of like trying to do all the things that you're supposed to do to have a successful coaching business. And it wasn't working. And so I ended up burning myself out. And in that time of me kind of being burnt out, not doing anything, and then when I was like kind of ready to kind of re-enter, I hired myself a coach. I started doing my spiritual practice. I started doing all the things that filled me up first. And then the rest fell into line. So the first thing I would say, whatever it is for you, whether you're spiritual, whether you're not, like if you like to run, if you like to meditate, if you like to, I don't know, whatever fills you up, play music, do those things first, because otherwise you're going to have nothing left of yourself to give by the end of the day, or at least not have it be sustainable for any period of time to have a career at it. So that would be the first thing that I'd say. The second thing I would say is make sure that whatever you're doing in your business, and again, I speak from experience, there's a real purpose for it. It's something that's going to either fill you up and make you excited or get you money. Right? So I did so many things in my business that were just like almost busy work, and they weren't lighting me up. There were things that other people were telling me I should do because it had worked for them, but I didn't really check in with me and see if it was something that really, that I even wanted to do. So for example, I did want to do this because I was like, sign me up. I want to do it. I did a 21 day virtual summit. That's actually kind of right about the time I met Hannah, and I hired her to help me because it was so much work.
It was a lot of work. It was like, I mean, there was so much in there and it was so valuable, but it was like, that was a huge undertaking.
Yes. And it was very ambitious for me just starting out as a new coach, but I wanted, you know, some of my other marketing coach had said, you know, if you do this, it'll totally fill your books. Like you'll be launched and ready to go. And I was like, okay, I want to do that. But I didn't really check yet. Like I said, I wasn't filling myself up first. I wasn't doing any self-care. I wasn't doing any of my spiritual practice. And I think that if I had done that for myself, because for me, that's how I really center myself and I'm in touch with like what I really want and what feels good for me. If I'd done that, I probably would have checked in and decided, I don't know what I would have decided, but I probably wouldn't have burnt myself out. But I just think that, yeah, if you check in with, look at like, do an audit of everything that you're doing in your business and cut the fat. is essentially what I would recommend, because you're going to end up doing all this busy work and get totally burnt out. And if you're not aligned with it and it's not something that's really exciting you, it's not sustainable.
Yeah,
that's so true. I was thinking, like, as soon as you were saying, fill your cup up first. And I think as parents, we automatically kind of give up our needs first for our children. And that kind of translates into our business or into this or into that. And I am so guilty for it, because for me, I like doing certain things for myself, but I push it to the side. I'm always pushing it to the side because God, I have to deal with the kids first, and then I have my business. And then it's like you said, you put everything first, you're tired by the end of the day. You don't want to work on your needs because you've worked on everybody else's, like, you're done. So, like, that's a great tip for anyone. It's like a really important reminder of, like, you got to fill up your cup.
Yeah. And it goes back to belief. So we all, like, what are the beliefs that you have about taking a day off? What are the beliefs that you have about taking a break or going on a walk before you dive into emails? Like, most of us think, oh, well, I have to get these things done. Like, if I don't do these now, they're not going to get done. But is that really true? Like, you know, am I going to not be productive if I take a nap? You know, how much more productive will you be when you're able to fill up your cup first? I believe that I'm way more productive. My brain works better. I have faster insights. I'm more efficient when I fill up my cup first, but we end up doing it backwards.
Yep.
And it just doesn't work.
I'm a big proponent of midday naps now. especially with so much of what I do is creative, it's designing or it's writing copy. And that takes a different kind of energy, a different, like, I feel like it takes more brain power to do than if you're doing something more repetitive that does it, like, where you can, your brain can go off and do something else at the same time. And so I've noticed, like, there's no point flogging a dead horse. Sometimes the best thing to do is just to lie down and take a little nap. And sometimes I'll lie down and I won't go to sleep, but all of the ideas will start to fit into place. And by the time my timer goes off, I feel refreshed and ready to, like, hit the books, because I've just given myself some rest, some, you know, in my lovely comfy bed, which I was thinking when you were talking about the things you're grounded, I love. There's nothing more. There's nothing nicer than, like, falling into a nice fluffy pillow with a nice fluffy duvet on you, between the nice cold sheets when there's no one else to climb in bed or climb on top of you, you know, like little kids. Another benefit of midday naps. Yeah. And I think, yeah, that's, like, it's so powerful to just, we think if we're not doing, then we're failing almost.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of seeing rest as doing something, it is a productive activity because it's helping you and then helping your business.
So creativity is a subject that I love because, as I mentioned, I'm a singer-songwriter, always been a musician, and I've been writing songs since before I could play an instrument. But for years, I told myself so many stories about my creative process that were just false. And so I'm really fascinated by it now because, again, I used to tell myself these stories. I used to believe that writing songs is hard, or they just hit me over the head. I can't sit down and decide to write a song. It has to just come to me. And how can you, and then you can't predict that. But once I changed that story, I started writing a lot. I started writing songs more often. And what I've noticed when I'm, like, my best songs come to me, not when I'm sitting down to write a song. It's maybe I've sat down and I'm playing with it, playing guitar or just playing for fun. And then I go do the dishes. And while I'm doing the dishes, like, a melody will come into my head, or a lyric will come into my head, or when I'm driving in the car, taking a walk. Those are the times when we're not really focused on the doing, that the best ideas, the best inspiration, like, our true creativity can flow. And I think the really studies are showing that that's really true. It's like, you can focus on something for only so much. when you hit a wall and you just have to let it go. And then it just pops right in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, gosh, Cricket, I mean, so much to think about there. What you've talked about today, I feel inspired to factor in more self-care into my day-to-day. And I think what you do is so powerful and so important and so very, very needed. I think especially for women and people who identify as women, I think there's so much pressure to put yourself last. And mm-hmm. so it can be a common trap for us. I think there's a reason, like there's the three of us are all talking together, you know?
Yeah.
Like that we've met each other, we've crossed each other's paths. And so, yeah, I think, thank you so much for sharing with us. Would you like to let anybody who's listening or watching know how to get in touch or how to work with you, before we go?
Yeah. So you can just go to joyfulpurposecoaching.com. And there you can find, you know, all my social links and everything. I've got a TikTok where I'm sharing affirmation chants that I write to help rewrite your beliefs. I post on Instagram pretty regularly. So go to joyfulpurposecoaching.com and you can also book a free clarity call. And that's 30 minutes with me just for free to really, we can dive into what beliefs are holding you back and how to rewrite those so you can start living the life that you desire.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's special.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Thank you so much for coming.
We could have been here for hours, so thank you.
Yes, I do think we could have gone on for hours. Maybe we'll have to have a part two at some point. So, yes, thank you. Want more from Hannah and Nicole? Make sure to sign up for the Showing Up Solo membership, a monthly membership with guest experts, free resources, and a members-only invite to our live content batching sessions, a wonderful opportunity to meet new people and get advice from Hannah and Nicole live in person. And as always, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. See you next time.